everybody. It's Amy Barnhart calling, and I am here with Dr. Dana.
Oh, hey, everyone. How are you?
We are so happy to have all of you guys on the call. Thanks so much for joining us today and being part of our community. You are going to get to talk to Dr. Dana personally today and get your question answered. But first, we're going to cover the topic of the month for about 15 minutes. And as usual, today's call is scheduled to last around an hour. So today, we're going to cover a topic that will help make your life easier, help you feel lighter, and reduce stress. The topic for today is how to stop struggling and find happiness. When you can find a way to stop fighting your life and look for and appreciate the good things in your life, you'll feel safer, more secure, and more relaxed. And after Dr. Dana explains why this is so important, we'll open up the phone lines and take questions via our webcast so that you can talk directly to her. Feel free to ask any relationship question that's on your mind. It doesn't have to relate to our topic today. And I'll tell you exactly how to ask your question a bit later. But let me now hand it over to the amazingly talented Dr. Dana.
Thanks, Amy. Hi, guys. I'm really excited to talk to you today about ending the struggle and finding happiness. And, you know, some of you may be surprised that the answer actually doesn't have to do with ending the struggles between you and your partner. I know that's what we're about here at Strong Marriage Now, but we did want to talk about this specifically because it has more to do about ending the struggle within yourself. So after I talk with you guys for a bit, or I talk, excuse me, for a bit, I'm going to open up for discussions and questions. And I've told you guys before that it's usually easier to answer your question when I can speak with you directly, but you can also write it in, and Amy's going to tell you how to do that right before it's time. And I also wanted to remind you that the call is being recorded and will be available for community members to listen to again. And I want to encourage you guys to listen to the past calls. You can find them all on your membership site. Because, you know, people have asked some really tough questions in the past, and the answers actually may be just what you're looking for today. So check those out. The terms of service. You'd think I'd remember this one since I talk about it every month. But, okay, so by being on this call, you are agreeing to the terms of service. And they basically say that I am not agreeing to be your therapist at this time, and this isn't one-on-one counseling. This is just a call where I'm going to give you some important information and then answer as many of your questions as I can get to. Hopefully I'll be able to get to most of them today. So let's dive right in. Okay. Happiness. What is happiness? The big philosophical question, right? You know, this term is thrown around a lot these days with all the self-help stuff and all these things that are going around, you know, but I just wanted today, I wanted to cover like just the standard dictionary definition. So, happiness is described as a state of well-being characterized by emotions ranging from contentment to intense joy. Now, that's kind of important, right? Because it starts with contentment. And guess where that comes from? Contentment comes from inside of you. You know, thousands of studies in my field reveal that the primary difference between unhappy and happy people is that unhappy people believe that the state of their mood comes from outside of themselves, right? They have a bad relationship, that equals a bad mood. They have a lousy boss, that equals a bad mood. They have ungrateful kids, bad mood. Unhappy people believe that they are, in essence, a victim of the events around them and outside of them. So if everything outside of them is great, then they're, quote, unquote, happy. But if things, relationships, work, et cetera, all that stuff is not going the way that they want, they are miserable, or so they believe. Happy people, on the other hand, understand that happiness comes from within. They understand that their mood is actually their choice. You know, and I know this is a tough concept, so I wanted to, in my opinion, one of the best illustrations of this is actually the life of Nelson Mandela. You guys know who he was, I hope. He was imprisoned for over 27 years. He couldn't be with his wife. He couldn't be with his kids. He couldn't live his life at all. But when people came to visit him, he was usually actually quite happy. And when he was asked about this, he would say, "These walls do not define me. I decide how I think and feel." He was saying that I don't have to be unhappy here. I'm the one that gets to decide, even being locked up, even being having all of my power taken away from me, I can still decide to be happy in my life. And, you know, look what he was able to accomplish at that, and, you know, with that point of view, amazing thing. So, now one of the best modern day teachers of this philosophy is Byron Katie. That's actually a woman. Byron is her first name. Katie is her second name. Strange. But she's great. And she's written several books, all of which I read. But her most famous and influential book is Loving What Is. That's kind of her big hallmark book. And honestly, that book, I don't even know how many years ago I read it, but it changed my life. Even more so than being a psychologist and going through therapy and all that stuff myself. So the basic premise is that in any given moment, we have a choice to love what is. Right? And that's the name of the book. To embrace what is, to be happy about where we are, or we can fight against it and be miserable. And her basic premise is that to fight against it is a form of insanity. To fight against what is, to fight against something you can't change, there's nothing you can do about, and decide to be unhappy in that, is a form of insanity and makes you very unhappy. So now, again, this is a tough concept, and probably for many of you, especially if you're struggling in your marriage. Even with that, I encourage you to read it. She's got some tough concepts in there. There was even some parts that made me angry when I first originally read it. Like, what? What do you mean? How could you possibly love this situation or that situation? There's really horrible things that happen in life. But she makes a great argument for it. I encourage you guys to read that. And, you know, finding happiness is going to be vital to you, whether you guys stay married or honestly not, if you guys separate. And that happiness is so important, and it really can only be found inside of you guys. So it actually is not dependent on your spouse.
Hey, Dana, it's Amy, and I highly recommend that book as well. It's amazing. Dana recommended it to me too, and it definitely tweaks you, but can give you some incredible techniques. And I've got another technique I wanted to share with you guys today that I know really works for me. And I have to give you a little warning that when you first hear it, you might think I'm crazy, and I am a little crazy. So, and that's really who I am. But I know, and I know my husband finds this technique very entertaining. He always chuckles about it when I ask. But with that disclaimer, here's the technique. Whenever I'm struggling with something, I ask myself, how is this perfect? And you might be saying to yourself, yeah, right. How could getting sick, losing my job, or my partner falling out of love with me be perfect? You've got to be kidding. But listen, I've had my share of struggles between losing my high-level job in an amazing company, dealing with my mom's death in 97, feeling exhausted from my thyroid condition, recovering from surgery, and even everyday annoyances like my kids fighting with each other, too much traffic, my husband driving me nuts.
How about when our website closes?
Oh, my goodness. That one totally stresses me out, because when the website is down and I know you guys are out there trying to access the information and you can't get to it, I'm like, freaking out. So that one is definitely a stressful point for me. But anyway, I've found that each one of these struggles has always led me to a better place. And sometimes it takes me a really long time to find my way to that better place. But I do know that each situation ends up being a gift, even if it really doesn't feel that way at the time. So let me just tell you a little more about that. Like, when I lost my job, initially I was incredibly hurt and lost and confused. But I gotta say, like, had that not happened, I might not have started this business and be on this path to share Dr. Dana's amazingly healing messages with folks like you. And my thyroid condition is another example. Like, I learned how to slow down and focus on the most important things instead of just being super busy and hyper all the time. And when the website crashed, well, you know what ended up being great about that? What was happening is so many people were watching our videos. We needed a bigger server. Now, that's an awesome problem to have, even though it did happen like the Wednesday before Thanksgiving when the website guy was totally on vacation.
Right.
And I was like, you know, Black Friday, no website, no big deal. But
what about when your husband drives you nuts? How do you deal with that? Where does that lead you?
I gotta say, even that, like, one other thing you might not know about me is I hate conflict. And I really hesitate to ask for what I need. So what happens to me, like, my husband will do something and I'll find it slightly annoying and I'll just suck it up and not say anything, and then he'll do it again, and then it'll make me even more insane, and then it, you know, gets more and more and more, and then I'm like ready to explode. And I finally say, okay, I'm going to talk to him about it. And we always end up having a great conversation and end up closer. So that is also a gift. And it's also like the gift that I'm having this awareness, like, why does it have to get me to this exploding point before I ask for what I need? That's also a tad insane. But anyway, here's my advice for you. Any situation can be a gift, even the painful ones.
Actually, I'd like to say especially the painful ones.
Absolutely. It all comes down to how you decide to think about the situation and what you decide to do next. And this question, how is this perfect, is my kind of crazy way of thinking through that process. You know, I find it helps me manage life's challenges with a bit more grace and ease, and ultimately makes me a lot happier. So hopefully after this explanation, it doesn't sound quite so crazy to you after all.
I don't think it's crazy, Amy. I think it's brilliant, honestly.
Thank you.
And one that I also try to ask myself as well. And one of my best examples of this is if I find myself in traffic, I like to tell myself, I'm supposed to be stuck in traffic. You know, how do I know that? Because I am. And to think of anything else is another way of, again, driving myself crazy. So you turn on the radio, you enjoy the sunshine, you have a conversation with whoever you're in, and you're happy to be there. It's a choice each time. Even if, you know, you feel like, oh, I need to be someplace else, you just recognize, no, you're not supposed to be someplace else because you're not. So I love it. I love all of these little tips. So, but I also wanted to wrap up with this one point. I wanted to before we dive into the questions, it is true that while your happiness does not come from outside of you, that is very true. Interestingly enough, it does necessarily work in reverse, because it actually does dramatically affect how others see you. Meaning it coming from inside of you out makes a huge difference. The bottom line, and all the research supports this, is the happier you are, the truly happier you are from within, the more attractive you become to everyone. More attractive in a romantic sense to your spouse, more attractive as far as promotions and competence to your boss, more fun and friendly, I guess, to your friends, and you just become more attractive the happier you are inside. And it's catching. It really is catching. The happier you are, the happier people will be around you. So it does make a huge difference from what's coming inside of you outside. It doesn't make a big difference outside to inside, but it does make a difference in reverse. So, you know, and honestly, this is such a complicated process, one that I've spent years pursuing. Both Amy and I have spent years pursuing and studying, and I wish I had the time to share with you all of the resources that I and we have studied and all the lessons that I've learned over the years to get that happiness that I'm talking about. But in the end, even if I told you all those lessons, it wouldn't make a whole heck of a lot of difference, because it's your journey. It's your personal journey. Everyone learns these lessons differently. You know, I have my mantras. Amy has her mantras. You know, everybody's got their new different gurus or people or mentors out there that's the thing that clicks with them. And so everyone learns that differently. But however you learn it, I really encourage you to start today the pursuit of this, and not pursuing things outside of yourselves, pursuing the knowledge and the understanding and the epiphany of what's going to make you happy on the inside. Because honestly, guys, I know we've got struggles. We all have struggles in our lives. We've all got difficulties going on. But really, you are the only thing standing between you and true happiness. So I really encourage you to go seek it out today.
Awesome. Thank you so much for your advice today, Dana. It was really fun sharing with all of you as well my little how is this perfect thing. So I appreciate you guys listening to that. I did want to weigh in with just one more thing to recommend. There's a great book that I've recommended before by Sean Aker, and it's called The Happiness Advantage. And he's got some awesome practical skills that you can use. There's 7 skills that he goes over in the book, and those also can help you get to that happier, less struggle kind of place. And I also want to point you guys out, we made some changes to the website in the last week. There's a whole resource library that we've now got accessible from the right navigation. If you're on like any one of our blog posts, if you just scroll down on the right, you'll see browse marriage topics, and any one of those links will take you to a library of lots more information on how to be happier, how to deal with any challenges you've got. So I just wanted to point you to that resource as well. And now we will shift gears, and we'll set you up to get to talk to Dr. Dana and ask your questions. So here's how it's going to work. Dr. Dana will spend around 3 to 5 minutes per question so that we can get to as many people as possible on the phone. We got lots and lots of you guys listening today. Thank you so much.
And thanks to all of you guys on past calls that you've all been really great about diving right in and asking your questions. So that helps helps us use our time the most efficiently. You can raise your hand and get in line to ask your question by pressing star 2 on your phone. And or you can use the monthly call event page if you're listening in online. And that was emailed to you when you RSVP'd to RSVP to this meeting. So when it's your turn, I'm going to let you know that you'll be talking to Dr. Dana by identifying you by the last 4 digits of your phone number, and I'll ask you to state your name and your question. And if you don't want to share your first name, please feel free to make one up. This is totally confidential, even though it is, of course, being recorded. You don't have to identify who you are, so feel free to make up a name if you like. You can also ask questions on the call event page. There's a window on the left where you can type in your name, email, and question. Again, feel free to make up a name. And I do want to let you know that sometimes the webcast questions lead to follow-up questions, but unfortunately, because we're trying to help as many of you as possible, we're not able to answer follow-up questions on the same call, but you can always call back next month or use a forum. So that being said, we will now open it up to our first caller ending in 6184. You are now unmuted. If you could state your name and question, please.
Hi, my name is Mike. My wife and I, we've been married for almost 18 years and have recently had some pretty significant issues. I've always been one to not be open when we get into an argument or a fight or a disagreement. I would close up and just keep things to myself. And there would be times where days I wouldn't speak or minimal speaking and so forth. And last year my wife had an affair, and it's been very trying on us. We have 4 children, and I've been a little too late and doing too much too late, and I've finally agreed to counseling. I was too proud to go and to seek counseling and finally did. And we're still in counseling, and I got your system, and we're currently working on it. I think it's great. But the issue still is getting past her affair and finding ways for her to fall back in love with me.
Wow. Well, again, I commend you for, first off, 18 years is very impressive, and I commend you for sticking with this and really trying to work it out. You might have heard me say on the stuff that you have that as painful as it is, a relationship can actually get better, believe it or not, after a crisis like this. And so I'm really glad you're sticking with it. So and again, you've got your priorities right. You've got first off is finding forgiveness within yourself, recognizing that. And I'm assuming your therapist told you this, recognizing that while your wife made the unfortunate decision to cross over the line, the relationship got itself to that point. And the relationship got itself so that you know, there is some responsibility on your part. And the reason I tell you that is not to blame, but so that you can feel some control in that. So all the reasons that she can point out that got the relationship to that vulnerable part, that's the stuff you can fix. That's the stuff you have control over. So finding kind of forgiveness for her and for yourself, by the way, for letting the relationship get to that point. It sounds like you're really doing a great job as far as knowing kind of your piece in that and how you've been shutting down over the years and closing, you know, yourself off to her, I think is wonderful. But then you're going to need to learn how not to do that. Just recognizing that you do that is probably not enough. You're going to have to learn how to not do that. And that means learning how to communicate. Maybe doing a little bit of work about like your childhood and why it wasn't safe to talk and how come you didn't learn that in the first place and that sort of thing. And then I was just thrilled with the second part that you said about falling back in love. And by the way, it's not just her falling back in love with you, it's falling back in love with each other and spending that time together. So
yeah,
go ahead.
But I think I'm more anxious than she is about wanting to fall back in love, and she just keeps telling me that those feelings aren't there yet. Very, very little intimacy.
Right.
You know, we have good times and bad times, like everybody. You know, and
the unfortunate part is that, and this is going to be painful for you to hear, but you can never compete with new, right? Like you're never going to be able to elicit the same reaction as someone new. It's not that this guy's better than you or that he's got anything more than you have. It's that new is a new and exciting feeling. And hopefully she's being educated by your therapist that that's not the feeling she's looking for. She's not looking for that new, you know, unexplored sensation of love. She's looking for your true sense of intimacy and closeness and connectedness. So hopefully she's not comparing apples and oranges, because you're not going to be able to compete with that. And I'm hoping, again, your therapist is educating her about that. And if not, I think it's covered in the system. So, you know, really, really letting her know that that's not the sensation you guys are looking for. You're looking for a deeper, more secure, calmer, comfortable type of love. And you just keep on, man. I mean, like, it comes with time, and it comes with perseverance, and it comes with trust again. And it sounds like you're really doing everything right. So I hope you really watch the system and figure it out.
Yeah, the trust is the hard part. She was texting a friend, and he's going through a difficult time in his marriage also, and it got to I was suspicious, and I found that, you know, there was some flirtation going on there, and that you know, brought back
right.
up old feelings.
You guys need to, again, with your counselor, you guys need to establish rules and boundaries that you both need to follow. There's a great book that covers, like, the really good guidelines for that. It's called Not Just Friends. It's a wonderful book that has some really good, solid rules that you both should follow about who you can contact and who you can't contact, and secret relationships and friendships and opposite. I mean, there's all sorts of things that you guys need to agree to about that, so that you can feel a little bit more safe in those in the parameters, and understand that she is agreeing to the rules. They're not just your rules being imposed on her. So I would check into that, and then work with your therapist about setting those up for you guys.
Okay.
Okay?
Okay.
Good luck with that.
Thanks.
Thank
you very much, Doctor.
Mm-hmm. Sure. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
Okay. We are now going to open up the line to the phone ending in 7316. You are now unmuted. State your name and question, please.
My name is Stephanie, and I am concerned about the program doesn't really show me, like, there's no directions for how to do this program by myself, because I have a husband who left me on July 12th, and we have, we have four children. I have four children. It's his stepchildren, but he's raised two of them since they were babies.
Mm-hmm.
And so he's completely deserted us, and going back to an ex-girlfriend. And so, and it's a long distance where, you know, we're far away from them, but he flies there pretty much every 2 weeks or so. And I tried the whole no contact thing, and that's what I'm in the middle of doing now, because I can't figure out how to do this program on my own. When a lot of it says, you know, number one, this is a second marriage for me. This isn't a first marriage. And number two, I don't know how to do this by myself, and how do I, you know, I've done the whole panic thing. I've done everything you're not supposed to do.
Well, I'm glad you're doing the no contact thing. You know, the program, most people do the program on their own. Just so you know, almost 80% of people that buy the product do it on their own. So that's very common. It's, well, because of all the things that it talks about, right? In the communication, and I'm just giving examples. In the communication, it talks about using I statements. You don't necessarily only do that with your partner. You do that with your friends. You do that with your kids. You do that with your mom. You know, in figuring out your, you know, the money section and figuring out your budget, you can sit down and figure that out. You can get that all together and so forth. So, and all the different things that it talks about doing, you know, I understand that you can't spend 8 hours with this person, but right. you can spend 8 hours.
No contact.
Right,
you
exactly.
Have no contact.
So, yeah, I understand. But you can still do so much of the things that are recommended. And honestly, they need to be done whether he comes back or whether you find yourself in another relationship. They're all aspects that are going to be improving for you, for previous relationships.
Okay.
There, most of the stuff is good for your family and your kids as well. So I would still, you know, I would definitely go through the program and practice all of that. And then, again, almost kind of what we talked about today, in that you'll find fulfillment and happiness and structure that makes you happier. And that's attractive, whether that be attractive to him, or whether that's just going to be attractive, you know, again, to the people around you or to the next person that you decide to be in a relationship with. So in either case, it's going to help you. And I'm glad you're doing the no contact thing. There comes a point when you can't influence that anymore. All you can do is take care of you. All you can do is take care of you.
Yeah, that's
that. Exactly. And I think that's perfect. And
yeah, a lot
that's
of people say something about this. Go ahead. I'm sorry.
No. What were you going to say?
A lot of people say, like, you know, you give it like a 30-day no contact thing, and then you try, and then see if they'll see you. And then if they don't, then try one more time, you know, give it some more time. And then if it doesn't, well, then you kind of just need to go on and realize it's
right.
over and be done with it.
Exactly. Exactly.
Okay.
Yeah,
okay.
I've heard that before. But again, in seeing that they see you, that's not sort of a desperate, you know, like, please, please see me. It's a, hey, how are you doing? Are you ready to talk? That's all that that is. You know, it's very, it's a very calm, I'm available here, just to let you know where I'm at, that kind of thing. It's not a please, please,
but you don't
please,
talk
please,
about
please.
A relationship or anything like that. It's just keep it light.
Yeah,
and
no,
airy
not particularly.
And...
Right. Mm-hmm. Exactly. This is where I'm at. This
okay.
is what's going on. These, and then talk about these are all the things that are, if he does talk to you, these are all the things that are going well. These are how the kids are doing. This is what I'm working on. I'm feeling really good about this. I'm really happy about that. You know, all that kind of stuff that we've talked about and being happy today.
Okay.
And then, yeah, if at some point, you know, there is a time to call it quits. If at that point he's moved on to that relationship, the side benefit is you're going to be in a good space because you've done all this work on you. You're going to feel good
right.
about you, and you're going to feel more empowered about, you know, making this decision. So either way, you
now
win,
what if,
you know. Go ahead.
And then what if you, like, if they're always wanting to talk about divorce details? Like, just to get a little personal here. About 3 months ago, he talked me into filing for bankruptcy. I was basically forced into it. And we got it to where his name wouldn't be on it so that we would survive off of his credit until I was through with it. Well, I didn't know that he was leaving, you know. So,
right.
And now, like, he has to file a list of stay, and he's already filed the list of stay. That is happening next month.
Well, I would say,
he's already going through the details about, he's already going
right.
through all the motions of filing.
If there's anything that you have to take care of, because if it's going to benefit you financially or hurt you if you don't sign things or take care of things or handle things, then I would move
uh-huh.
forward on those. But other than that, as far as talking about that, you can say, I'm at this point not willing to have this discussion with you. Like, I would be willing
okay.
to talk to you about this in a few months. I'll be willing to talk to you about, like, I'm not ready for this yet, for the things that you
okay.
don't want to discuss yet. You're perfectly legitimate saying, I'm not having that conversation yet. I have not given up on the marriage yet. And, you know, I'll let you know when I've made that decision and I'm ready to have these conversations. Now, don't refuse things that are going to, you know, don't cut off your nose to spite your face. But you get to decide what you're going to talk about and not talk about. Okay?
Okay. All right.
All right. Thank you.
Well, thank you very much. Okay.
Sure. Bye. Thanks. Bye-bye.
All right. Thanks, Stephanie. Our next caller is ending in 7058. Please state your name and question.
Jay.
Hi, Jay.
Jay, my wife is separated from me. It's been about a month now.
Mm-hmm.
And it's just been a very difficult time.
Yeah.
We have one child, and it's just a different person that's come on. And she's just, for the first years of our marriage, almost 18 years, we've been together for 21. We dated for two.
Mm-hmm.
She just has changed in the last year, and a lot of it I believe has to do with some weight loss surgery that she had, and then the plastic
mm-hmm.
surgery thereafter.
Mm-hmm.
And,
yeah, that can. Go ahead.
And I just, it's been about 5 or 6 months since she told me in January that she was very unhappy, and I at that time decided that, you know what, I'm going to take this very seriously, and I've spent the better part of from that day in late January till she left in middle of July doing everything I could possibly do to be a better person.
Mm-hmm.
But she still has decided that it's something that she needs. She needs to have her space, needs to be. She wants, she talks about getting, falling back in love, but am I wishing for something that's not going to happen?
You know, not necessarily, but I do have to say that one of the things they don't tell people in the counseling, the pre-counseling before these weight loss situations is that this is a very common side effect, interestingly enough, because the person who loses all the weight feels like literally like an entirely different person, and they want to live an entirely different life. And they often have this fantasy that there's a whole world out there that has been denied to them. There's a whole lot of fun out there that they have missed out on, and a whole lot of people out there that will, you know, love them and take better care of them. And it is a fantasy, unfortunately, and it isn't true. A lot of times what happens, and I actually helped a couple gosh, a couple years with it, ago with this, that she actually left. They divorced. And she did go out into the world and tried, you know, pursue this great happy life, which, of course, she found out wasn't the case at all, and she ended up being pretty unhappy and came back. And then my job was to try and help him forgive her, and because he didn't know if he wanted her back. So and they did, by the way, reconcile. But it is fairly common, and it is unfortunate because she's looking for this whole other life that she has this fantasy that media tells her you're happy when you're thin, and romance tells you you're happy when you're thin, and all this other stuff. So she seems to think that there's something else out there. My advice to you is to continue to do everything that you're doing. To continue to walk the walk, to continue to be the best man you know how to be the best father you know how to be available to her, if you can. Because again, I don't know how long you can tolerate, until she finds out that in fact she won't be happier someplace else. But I, you know, and then also, if she's willing to talk to you, find out what it is she thinks she's going to get out there. What is it that she thinks she's going to find that you can't provide in your marriage together, and see if there's a way. If she's looking for adventure, can you guys travel? If she's looking for more romance, can you kick that up? If she's looking for more compliments, like, I mean, I don't know what she's looking for.
The romance thing is since our child was born, it completely disappeared, and I became just a total dad and not a husband,
right.
and I was out of shape and overweight with the
mm-hmm.
issues that go along with diabetes, and it's,
mm-hmm.
but I've really made the effort to get myself back and lost a lot of weight. And I've
good job.
Been to the doctor, but this is just so crushing. And every time I know that you're supposed to give them space, but it's so hard for me to do that, and I have to guard against the ups and downs of when we do contact,
right.
because we're sharing the child, our son.
Right. But again, based, you know, on my conversation earlier today, my point earlier today, you're doing everything right about finding happiness within you. I know that it feels like right now, like your whole world is based on her and her decisions, but that's not really the case. And I know that that's tough to hear, but so much of your happiness and your health and your well-being is going to come from inside of you. And it sounds like you're making really good steps and taking really good steps to accomplish that for yourself. And as much as you can, really focusing on what would make you happy, what you need, and how you want to feel good about yourself as a man and a father, is going to make actually all the more difference to her than even what you think that you're supposed to be or how you're supposed to act. So as much as you can, you know, try reading those books I recommended today, and see if you can't come to find some of that inner light within yourself. Because, and this is a very harsh thing for me to say, as painful as this is for you, that puts you in a really dark place, and dark is not attractive, right? So, and I understand why it puts you in a dark place. It's one of the most painful things we go through in life, but it puts you in a really, you know, bad and negative space, and then that's not something that people want to be around, including her. So try and really work on the stuff that I talked about today from inside and finding that place for you, and that'll make hopefully a big difference when she sees that the grass is not greener out there. Okay?
Thank you.
All right. Good luck with that. Thanks.
All right. Thank you. We're going to skip over briefly to a question from Suzanne on the webcast. My husband, she says, my husband has an emotional affair relationship with a female staff at work. Therefore, he keeps insisting in getting a divorce instead of working with me to save our marriage. But recently, he found out that this woman is going out and living with multiple men, and then which gave him a wake-up call, and now he's opening up about what's going on. So she says, I told him that I love him and forgive him, but I still feel uncomfortable and heavy inside. Why is her question?
Well, I don't know if you guys have done the work to figure out how you guys got there. And I think one of the reasons you might feel uncomfortable is because you don't feel safe yet. And maybe you don't feel like anybody's been real honest and real about what happened to the relationship. You heard me say on our first call, I believe, that the relationship gets itself to a place where you are vulnerable. And so what was going on in the relationship or with him, sometimes, you know, I guess that's not an entirely fair thing. Sometimes people go through midlife crises. Sometimes they go through a depression. Sometimes it is something that's happening with him. But what was happening between you two or with him that led him to be vulnerable to begin an emotional affair in the first place? So part of that discomfort is probably that hasn't been explored enough. And that's critical. Finding out, it's not about blame or shaming or figuring out who's, you know, who was in the wrong. It's about really figuring out why you guys weren't connected, and what was going on with him that he got caught up in that in the first place. And it's only in that that you're going to feel safe. It's only in that that you're going to feel truly close again, because he has to be honest with you about what was going on, and you have to be honest with him, that you actually have some, you know, that could be very painful conversations. That can be really hard things to hear. But once you guys have those conversations, then you start to feel like, okay, now it's actually an authentic relationship. Now it's real. Now I really know what was going on. And you, maybe you don't even want to hear some of the things he has to say, but I think there's some more conversations for you guys to have. And again, you're not on the call, so I can't exactly tell if you've had those, but chances are you haven't had enough. And then you also heard me tell another caller about that book, Not Just Friends, which has some really great rules that you guys need to reestablish so that you feel safe that he's not going to. I mean, very few people start out trying to have an affair. They actually kind of they fall and slide into it, and it's a very slippery slope, and then they're there. Developing some rules to make sure that that doesn't happen again, so that you both agree to and that you feel safe. And then you guys can move on to working on your relationship and getting it to be the relationship that you guys both want.
Okay, great. We're now going to go to the caller ending in 8080. You are now unmuted. If you could state your name and question, please.
Yes, hi. My name is Steve. Married 22 years, two small girls. Discovered my wife having an affair about 6 months ago. Since then, she won't go to counseling with me. She says she has to work on herself.
Mm-hmm.
She still has had suspicious activity, and I recently found out she is still involved with this other person.
Mm-hmm.
So I guess I already know about, you know, there's not much of a chance for things to work with us as long as she's seeing somebody else.
Well, again, that has to do with how long you can tolerate that. I mean, I'm not recommending you should tolerate it forever. But you're right. Yes, her attention. You know, you can't be in love with two people at the same time. If she's focused on something else, and again, you heard me tell another caller, new. Right? That's exciting. That's shiny. That brings a level of excitement that 22 years can't bring, no matter how great you are. And she's refusing counseling, in part because she's refusing accountability. You know, she doesn't want to sit in front of somebody and have them say, you know, like, what are you doing to your kids? What are you doing? So you might try to, see, have you looked at the checked out partner part of our series?
Yes.
And has she heard that?
Yeah, I asked her to watch it, which she did, but she'll look at things, but nothing's like really clicking for her. Even her therapist, you know, she says she's working on herself, but I don't believe she's told a therapist what's really happening with her.
Interestingly enough, confidentiality, just so you know, only works one way, meaning her therapist cannot talk to you, but you can talk to her or him.
Right.
So if you feel like there's information that your wife is not being real about or authentic about, you are welcome to leave a message and say, hey, this is so-and-so's husband, and I wanted to let you know that this is what's going on and this is what's happening, and I realize you can't speak to me and I'm not expecting a return call or even an acknowledgement that you got this message, but I do want you to know that, you know, these are my concerns. And she, the therapist's like that. They'll only listen to, I mean, she can't talk to you, but you can talk to her.
Right.
So if you feel like there's stuff going on, feel free to let it might piss your wife off. I don't know. But again, she's avoiding counseling because she doesn't really want to know. She doesn't really want that accountability and to have to look somebody in the eye. So,
I'll give that a try. And then last question, is there anything else I can do to really have her realize what she's giving up with her family and her children if she does decide to divorce? And should I maybe move out so she can see what life would be like without me?
That is a step. That's called separation. And before there's anything filed, there is a step. And separation works like this. Basically, you guys make a decision that no decision is going to be made about it. No one's going to file for, you know, 6 months or a year or something like that, but you're going to live as divorced people. And that means that you separate your finances. That means that each of you live in a separate place. It means you share custody of the kids. So you don't want to make her life in any way more difficult. You don't want to be a jerk and screw her in any way. But you want to act like how it would look if you guys were not together. That is called separation. It's a Hail Mary, and it does work for a lot of people. Because the other person realizes, like, oh, I don't like this. You know, my kids are crying. I only get to see them half the time. So, you know, you both, usually the two agreements are you agree not to file for divorce and you both agree not to, you know, well, she can't agree to not see anybody at this point because she already is. But you know, you would say the same. You would say, I'm agreeing not to not get involved in a relationship at this point. And then you act as if. The only thing is you have to be able to follow through at the end of that. So if at that point, you know, in 6 months that's still going on, then you would take steps to move ahead with a divorce.
Okay.
So see if she – yeah, and if she's at that state, then say, okay, I'm willing to try this because I need you to know what this feels like. So, again, and be prepared, though, and have some conversations. It's incredibly painful for the kids because it's like going through a divorce. But, sadly, at their expense, that's what she needs to see is how it's going to affect them.
Okay, so, thank you, doctor.
All right, good luck. Thanks.
All right, thank you very much. Our next caller is ending in 9988. Please state your name and question.
Hi, my name is John. I've been married for 6 years. We were together dating for 2 years before that, and she was single 6 years prior. She had been married 20 years before that and had actually gone through four separations during that time and ended up, of course, divorcing. And we got along great until my job took me to another state, and she was supposed to come and spend every other weekend with me, and I would give up. Well, long story short, never once during a year did she ever come down to me. And at the end of the year, she got into an emotional affair with somebody who got into trying to get me to do a post-nuptial, which basically she wanted me to sign off any rights to the house and give her complete blank slate on any possible financial advantage. Well, I had to consult a lawyer according to the document, and all the lawyers, and I also went to a counselor, said there's no way because she can take this and file for a divorce and she'll have total control the next day.
Yep.
So I never would sign that, and she got really kind of removed and angry. And bottom line is she ended up, Mike, attorney that I had reviewed, that said you have to file for spousal support, not divorce, because I'm not interested in divorce. So I did, and then she said she would not prior to this divorce for a year. Well, that's the state law anyway, because she wasn't really handing me anything. But 2 or 3 months later, she did file for divorce, and I am trying to get her to at least get a second opinion from a counselor, because the counselor that we went to together after 25 minutes said, you guys shouldn't be married and shouldn't live under the same roof, and she's
going
into that
stock
and barrel. Yeah.
Oh, that's horrible. I'm sorry about
that. I found out later that this counselor is not licensed, and that she takes this and she runs with it, you know.
Jeez, that's just awful. I'm so sorry about that. Yes, I agree with you that it would be nice for her to seek a second opinion from someone who's qualified and who does marriage counseling and does it very well and has a good reputation. And are you still in separate states?
Yes, but we go to the same church. She asked me not to go to church there for a while, and I complied for a couple of months. But I was in that church before she was there. And I really missed it, and I started coming back, and I'm actually staying with another church member. And most of the church people are very supportive of me, but they're also friendly towards her. But she's actually seeing somebody in the church who's a kingpin in the church. And yesterday, someone else came to me and said that the wife of this man that she's involved with came to them. She's not a member of the church, and she was shocked. Because she said, I didn't know you knew about that. So it's really ugly.
Oh, I'm so sorry. Yeah, it is really ugly. You know, I'm going to go with kind of what the theme of this talk is today. It always seems to go back to whatever our theme is to some degree, which is I really feel like you need to focus on you doing the right thing. It sounds like you have been doing the right thing, going to church, getting your support system set back up again, really focusing on what makes you happy and how, you know, and again, she, unfortunately, is making a lot of choices that are going to lead to a lot of pain to her, interestingly enough, as well as to you. And I'm afraid you're going to have to kind of, you know, again, sit back, trust in your faith and trust that the chips will fall the way that they are supposed to, and that this will somehow work out to way, you know, that it's supposed to for you. And then, you know, just do the right thing. Don't be spiteful. Don't be mean. Just be, you know, who you need to be at your church, in your life. And, you know, again, hopefully she would see that you're actually the good man, that she left behind, and the guy she's with now is scum. But that's sometimes a really tough decision. It's tough for people to see. So I would say just really work on yourself and do what you need to do, and, you know, and trust that's going to work out the way that it's supposed to work out.
All right. Thank you, Dr.
All right.
Dana.
Sure.
Okay. We're going to hop over to a webcast question again. This question comes from James, and he asks, if a man and a wife are one when joined in marriage, how can either one be happy when apart? Happiness can be found within, but how can one be happy without the other? So...
Okay. Well, I'm assuming happiness, meaning that you become an us in a good marriage, and that it's difficult to be happy without that. I understand your point to some degree. However, that can be taken to a point where we make our happiness the other person's responsibility and or problem. In other words, I'm unhappy and that's your fault. Because we're an us and I'm unhappy, you must be the reason. And that doesn't get us anywhere. We don't take responsibility for it. I would argue that I can't even give you a percentage. More than half of the couples that I see, this is the problem, because they come to me and they say, I am unhappy and it's this person's fault. They need to do this, 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 and this, and I will be happy again. And then the other person in their relationship, the other partner, says, no, I will do that as soon as you make me happy, and you need to do this, 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 and this, and then I'll be happy. And that, it just never works that way. So I understand what you're saying about being a unified unit. I understand about being a couple and an us and one in marriage. I get all of that. But still, we have to own our own state of being. We have to own our own state of mind. We have to own that we can at any time decide to see all the good in our partner, or we can decide to see all the bad in our partner, and they both exist. And that's up to us. We can see the good in our relationship, or we can see the bad in our relationship. We can see, you know, and those choices and what we choose to focus on, that's all on us. That's not our partner's responsibility. So one of the biggest, again, things I see in marriages all the time is when a couple it's almost always both of them, but when a couple, you know, really sees their happiness as the other person's job, and it just doesn't work. It ends up being a pretty selfish marriage. It ends up being a marriage where, you know, the other person says, ouch, and rather than going, oh my gosh, you're hurt, are you okay? The other person goes, well, yeah, ouch, but my ouch is bigger, and you hurt me first, or you hurt me worse. I mean, it just doesn't tend to work out. So I understand your philosophy, and I love the fact that you feel like you're a unit, but I do think that you can be happy on your own. I do think you can be responsible for being happy on your own. And I do think that you can get to a place where you are, one of the statements that always has bothered me in the movies that everybody thinks is so romantic is, you complete me. That makes the hair on the back of my neck rise. Because it implies that I need you to be the other half of me for me to be a whole person. And that's just not true. Like, we can find happiness, joy, fulfillment on our own, and that makes us more attractive to that person. That adds to their life to have us in their life. But really, that is our responsibility. So try not to feel like a victim to kind of those sort of cliches that we need that other person to be happy, because that's not true.
Thank you, Dana. This next caller is 4494. Could you please state your name and question?
Oh, hey. My name is Denise.
Hi, Denise. Go ahead.
I'm sorry.
That's all right. I know these are tough questions.
Yeah. My husband and I, we've been together. We were going to be married 15 years this week, and we've actually been together for 25. And things were going well, and then we had kids. And then it was just sort of like, you know, you're not paying attention to me, and ever since the kids came, it's not about me anymore. And I always thought that when you got married and you had kids, that you moved as one.
Right.
And he doesn't seem to understand that. I have survived him having an affair. He did that when I was pregnant with our third child. And so he was gone for most of that period. And he came back, and I forgave him because I knew that keeping all of that anger with me, it just wouldn't have helped us.
Right.
And we started. And we just keep going back and forth. And then finally we had a big blow up maybe 2 months ago. And then we said, all right, these are the things that we want to work on. And we even sat down and made out a list of things that we said that we were going to try and
Great.
Do. And have date night and have more talk time and all of that. So I tried to stick to it. And something as little as making breakfast on the weekends. I would make breakfast on Saturdays. He would make it on Sundays. But I noticed that he wasn't making it on Sundays. So it was kind of like you start doing things, and then all of a sudden now he stops, and then he stops speaking to me. And I knew, and I have, it's kind of like the first caller, I shut down. And I kept telling, and I said, I know that the more I shut down and the longer we stay not speaking, the further apart we're going to be. And now we're just kind of at the point where I pretty much believe that he's already filed for divorce. And
are you still doing everything that you agreed to do?
I try to, you know.
Okay.
Late night, I would ask him, do you want to go out? He'd just say no.
Right.
I still make breakfast, but it's always, you know, would you like, are you hungry? Do you want breakfast? But it's always an answer with an attitude.
You know, sometimes it's interesting if a partner, and it sounds like this is what's happened, unfortunately, to you, is sometimes that if the person is determined, I'll be happier over there. I'll be happier in that field. I want out of this field. The grass is greener over there. It's this strange phenomenon that occurs when you actually do everything right. They get more and more resentful because all of their excuses as to why they shouldn't be here, they should be over there, go away.
Right,
and they get more and more annoyed. They get more and more like they're not, you know, they're going to be the bad guy because you're doing everything that they asked you to do. You're doing everything, you know, and they've got it in their head that they'll be happier over there, and you doing everything right sort of almost gets in their way to some degree. That doesn't mean that you shouldn't do it. It does mean that you still need to keep doing what you've agreed to do, and you know, again, with the theme of what we're talking about today, you're going to be okay either way. You're going to be able to look yourself in the eye and your kids in the eye and know that you met every contract that he asked, you know, you guys made a contract, you did your end of the deal. And by the way, I don't mean share this with your kids, but you'll be able to look them and understand that. You tried to do what you're supposed to do. You've worked on making yourself happy. You know, you've worked on being the best wife and mom that you know how to be. You've listened to his request about paying attention to him. You've done everything that you're supposed to do. And, you know, maybe you've heard me say today, if I was going to walk away from my marriage, I would have to think I had done everything I could possibly do. So it sounds to me like you're really doing everything right. I would encourage you to keep doing it right up until, you know, God forbid you get those papers in the mail. But I would really encourage you to do that so that you can feel, you know, work on yourself and feel like you're in a good space. And honestly, that you'll be okay. You know, you'll be okay either way. And it does sound like he's made some decisions that have nothing to do with you. And that's a frustrating place for you to be in because you feel powerless to do anything about it.
Yeah, because he's, you know, it's like anytime we tried counseling, he didn't like the first counselor that we had because she called him out on the first go-around because he was like, well, you know, when she goes to the park, she takes the baby, but she doesn't ask me if I want to go. So she said, well, why didn't you speak up? I said, you know, whenever there's something going on with them, they know she doesn't involve me. She's like, you don't need an invitation. You're their father.
He sounds very kind of self-involved and like it's kind of all about him in a lot of ways.
Right.
It sounds like you tried to make that work for a long time, but eventually you can never make that kind of person completely happy because you can't, because of what we're talking about today, he believes his happiness is your responsibility.
Right.
And in the end that you'll fail at that because it's not, right. And you can. He's the only one that can make himself happy in that.
Mm-hmm. And then we went to a second counselor, and the second counselor, just like the other person that was speaking, said, you know, listening to the two of you, I just don't think that you two were meant to be together. So
yeah.
I was just sitting there, and I'm looking at him like, really?
No, that's a ridiculous thing to say. I wish people would pull their license when they say things like that. It's ridiculous.
Right.
People can decide
right.
to be together. But you can't do it on your own, hon. And it sounds
right.
like you're, you know, again, if you really can look yourself in the eye and think that you've done everything you can, you're doing everything he's asked, you're doing, you know, within reason, because you can't make it all about him, because you do have kids.
Mm-hmm.
But,
mm-hmm.
you know, if you're really, really trying to be that, and he decides, again, that other field is someplace that he needs to be, at that point you have to let that go and you have to let him go. Okay?
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
All right. Good job. Keep trying.
Thank you.
Thanks.
All right. Thank you. Our next caller ends in 1319. Could you state your name and question?
Hello.
Hey.
Hi. It's Julie. I have a question. I've been married for 17 years, and we're separated right now, but we're trying to work it out.
Mm-hmm.
And he's a compulsive liar. So, like, he did have an affair and then he left. So I just don't know. He won't be honest about it, and it just recently came out that they did have sex and all that, so.
Yeah.
I just don't know, like.
By compulsive liar, mean he lies about the affair or he lies about everything?
About everything. So. It was at work, so all his work buddies know about it, and he won't tell me the truth about it, but I just, like, there's information out there.
Like 15 years ago, he would lie about whether he paid a bill or not. He would lie about, like, where he was with his friends. He just lies?
Well, he lied to me the first 5 years of our marriage about using drugs, and I found out about it because he got in trouble, so.
Right. Okay. I don't have great news for you. You probably knew I was going to say that. That being a compulsive liar, and it does sound like he does, he lies about everything, is a personality disorder, interestingly enough, and can be fixed, but requires intensive individual therapy with a qualified therapist who has experience with this. So it literally stems from childhood. It stems from insecurity and lack of responsibility and a feeling of entitlement. There's just so many things going on about that, and I hate to break it to you, you're not going to be able to fix. So you'll have to see if he can or if he'd be willing to do that kind of work with a professional. And I'm talking like once a week, 6 months, you know, a year of therapy where he can really, really get in touch with what part of him refuses to be authentic and real and honest with you. Other than that, and again, this is my bad news, it will continue to happen. Even if he decides I'm not going to have an affair again because it caused me too much problems, he just literally is compelled, hence the term, to lie about anything that's going to make it, you know, like his life easier for him. And unfortunately, that's not going to change unless he, because it's one of those really deep issues, that's not going to change unless he kind of agrees to, like, to get some real important help with that. So I'm sorry I don't have great news for you. It can be fixed, but it takes a lot of work and a lot of commitment. So I would really try and get him started on that.
Okay.
All right. Thanks.
Thank you.
All right. So we have time for one last caller, and then unfortunately, sorry for those of you guys that are still hanging out there, we're gonna have to end the call because Dr.
Yeah.
Dana has to see some clients. But the last caller is 5642. If you could state your name and question.
Yes, my name is Tim.
Hi, Tim.
Can you hear me all right?
I can.
Okay. I've been married for 30 years.
Wow.
My wife had an affair 15 years ago, and we went through a marital counseling program.
Mm-hmm.
We were able to reconcile, and I just caught her about 3 months ago on the telephone calling a divorce lawyer, and she then told me that she wanted to get divorced, and it was like instantaneous. She wanted to go from being married for 30 years to getting divorced. And she went over and told my son that very evening that, you know, this is what was going to happen. Then the next day, she told me that she was stressed out and that she needed to get away, so she left town and was staying with her relatives. And she's been there for 3 months. She told me that she wasn't going to file for divorce or do anything while she was there, but she did go ahead and file for divorce.
And there's no explanation? She didn't tell you why?
She said that she's, well, how can I put this? We have a bad relationship. It's more of a, I would view it more as a friendship. You know, it kind of became, and the romantic side of it wasn't real, real strong, but I still valued the friendship. And so, you know, the problems were there. I mean, I understood that. But I also knew from having gone through the program before that, you know, there were a lot of things that could be done. I asked her if she would go back through this other program, which is through her Catholic Church.
Right.
And she said no. I said, well, counseling, you know, I'm willing to do anything. Before she left, I told her, you know, I'll do anything.
Right.
And she just says, no, I won't. I don't want to do anything. She's refused to have any contact with me for the last 3 months, which has really hurt me.
That's so strange, yeah.
And enraged me. Now
sure.
She's back down, staying with my son, and she wants me now to discuss with her the terms of the divorce. And I'm feeling, you know, I went through a very difficult period 15 years ago with this affair, and a lot of those emotional scars are still with me. And I have a very strong, at this point, I clam up because, you know, I have so much fear of rejection, you know, because basically she's the kind of person who doesn't, you know, if she won't talk to you, she'll just say, make some sort of an angry comment like, I don't want to be married to you, or I don't love you, or whatever the case. And so at this point, I'm struggling with what I should do, because right now I don't feel like I can talk to her. I just don't, you know, it's...
Right.
I've been treated
this
way.
So even if she was willing to talk to you about, you're too upset now to hear what she has to say. If she said, okay, I'm willing to tell you what's going on or where I am, that would be too tough for you to do?
Well, it's not a matter of that. I mean, it's a matter basically of just talking about the divorce. You know, that's all she wants to do is just talk about the divorce. So...
Well, okay, so if all it is a matter of talking about the divorce, recognizing that you are in a very angry state and you're in a bad space, divorces that are handled amicably can cost as little as, you know, $4,000 or $5,000. Divorces that are handled with attorneys, meaning you can't speak to her and you can't sit down through mediation and you guys need to talk through separate representations, can cost as much as $80,000. So as hard as that is for you to have that conversation, you have to kind of think of what it's going to cost you to not have that conversation. And when you start getting separate representatives involved because you can't sit down and talk to her about it, it ends up costing you just a bloody fortune, I gotta say. So if that's something you're willing to do and money you have, which some people do, then I would, you know, be able to do that and, you know, you can handle it that way. If it's not, a really good mediator can, you don't have to talk about anything heavy, but a really good mediator can sit down and just and mediate you guys having this conversation. So you don't have to do it over lunch. You don't have to do it with her privately. Do it with a representative. But that's, again, going to cost you so much less than if you try and I can't speak to you at all and you try and get separate representation. So that would be my first course of action. If all she wants to do is talk about the divorce and you're willing to do that, I would seek out the best mediator in town. And go there, because they really know how to deal with people that are in this space.
Well, what about what you were talking about before with a separation whereby I would say, you know, I need some time on this. You know, she's getting ready to move into an apartment, and if I were to say, you know, I want to give this another 3 months, and then we'll talk about the divorce.
Oh, yeah, you can absolutely do that. If you're not ready to talk about that, you can say exactly what, you know, what I said to the other person, which is, I'm not in that space. I'm not agreeing to this divorce at this point. And I'm not willing to have these conversations right now. Please keep in mind, I don't know what state you're in, but she can go ahead and file anyway, and you'll still have to, you know, go through the proceedings and figure that out. Like, you can't necessarily stop that, but you can tell her, I'm not willing to sign papers, I'm not willing to move forward, I want some more time. Then you can make that decision. As long as you're making that decision because you feel like, there's some room to work this out, or and you're not making that decision to spite her. You're making that decision because you're still saying, I love you, and I still have hope that you'll come home.
Right. Well, I'm going to ask you one last question, and that is, do you know how I might go about trying to find a support group, like a divorce-type support group?
Yes. Every city has a what's called a crisis line, an access and crisis line, and if you just call 411 and ask for the crisis line, that crisis line should have a book, and in that book, every city has it, there's a list of all of the support groups and places that, that offer those sort of thing. I ran a divorce and separation group for years back at the beginning of my practice, and they were incredibly helpful. And really, really a wonderful place for people to go through and bounce ideas off each other and have support for each other. I think they're a great idea. And they should be listed somewhere in sort of like your county or city public services that help people in crisis. We'll have a list of those groups that are available.
Okay.
All right.
Thank you very much.
You're welcome. Okay. Thanks. Okay, bye-bye.
Okay, best of luck to you. Thank you so much, everyone, for sharing your intimate, painful questions today. We hope you found this time with Dr. Dana helpful. If you got more questions, I know some of you we weren't able to get to you today, please log in and use the private internet forum and stay tuned for an email from us because we'll be letting you know when the replay of this call is available. We'll be posting it on the membership site, so if you want to listen to any of these answers again, might have been hard to digest all in the moment, that'll be available for you. I also want to let you know that we did send out the August magazine, and hopefully you got the magazine and the CD from last month, and we're getting ready to send out September, so keep an eye out in your mailbox for that. Hope you got that and you're enjoying the magazine. Mark your calendar for next month's call. It will be on Tuesday, September 17th at the same time, 4:30 Eastern, 1:30 Pacific. The topic for next month is how to get your partner to love you again. And the idea there is kind of like what a lot of you guys are asking about. What can you do to win back a spouse who is checked out? And I know we've heard from many of you guys that you would like to have a one-on-one session with Dr. Dana. If you would like to pursue that, you can learn more about that at strongmarriagenow.com/dr-dana-session, S-E-S-S-I-O-N. Or you can email us, and we'll send you that link. And as you might imagine, her calendar fills up very, very quickly. So if you want to work with her, jump on this opportunity today. That URL, again, is strongmarriagenow.com/dr-dana-session.
Yeah, let me interrupt, Amy.
Sure.
I feel so bad when we're not able to get to everybody because I know everybody's question is pressing and important to them. So, you know, feel free to call up and set, and I will set some time aside. Yes, my schedule gets very busy. But, you know, I really want to be able to help you guys. I really feel strongly about the community. And if you want to call up and make arrangements, I will figure out a way to fit you in. Okay?
Great. Thanks, Dana. And thanks again for everyone for joining us today. It is such an honor for us to be in a position to be there for you in these kind of painful, difficult situations. It's nice to know that, you know, we're here for you and we're honored to be here for you. If you found what we do at Strong Marriage Now valuable, please invite your friends and loved ones to join our email list. We're committed to helping as many people as we can, and your referrals mean so very much to us. So we appreciate your help in spreading the word.
Yes, and thank you guys again. Call me if you need to. I really appreciate you guys asking your questions today. Really, really tough questions. I found that so many of you, though, are really doing so much right. And I was really, really impressed with how hard you guys are trying and how much effort you're putting in and really, you know, walking the walk. And I was impressed with so many of you today. So thank you so much for sharing your stories, and I look forward to talking with you next month.
All right. Thanks, everybody.
Thanks. Bye-bye.